You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week two of our series, Bystander, a view of the cross from those who were there. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor James Brown with today's message.
How are we doing, Mid-Current? That's all you got for me? That's really it. All right. We'll get there. Hey, my name is James Brown. I am, as PJ said, I am a longtime fan, friend of this church. In fact, if you've been around for a while, you've probably seen me around. I've spoken here maybe a dozen times or so over the last 6 years or so. Pastor Sten is not here today, clearly. He is with his fam, on a well-deserved vacay. So I'm glad they're able to get, I'm okay. Thank you for your concern. I don't know what happened there. I actually am glad you're here. I want to welcome you to the I Ain't Got Nowhere to Be on Spring Break annual meeting. I call the meeting to order. Just kidding. This is a good day. This is a great day for us to be together. Why? Well, because I want to introduce you to an awesome, awesome game. This game is called Epic or Fail. And here's how the game goes. When you walked in today, you received a card with two sides. On one side are the words epic, and the other side has the word fail. This is the only thing you're going to need, the only tool, the only resource you'll need to participate in the game today. Everybody got their card? Wave it in the air like you just do care. You guys didn't get a card? Do we have any ushers or hushers that could distribute it? There we go. Okay. So you got it? You got it? Oh, man, these like ninjas. This is so good. So we're going to use this. What's going to happen is I'm going to work with the tech team here. We're going to coordinate. They're going to show you the very first part of a video that I grabbed from the interwebs, and I'm going to have them pause it right before the moment where something absolutely amazing or totally terrible happens. And before we reveal whether that moment, whether that thing was an epic or a fail, I'm going to give you a chance to vote. And then we're going to show the rest of the clip and see how you did. Okay? You guys ready to play? You want to play this game with me? Oh, there we go. There you are. I knew you'd be here eventually. Okay? So we're going to try just a practice round just to get our bearings and figure out how this game goes. Okay? So here we go. First clip right here. It is. All right. So time to vote. Epic or fail? What do you think? A lot of fails. I thought the 10:30 would be a little more optimistic. All right. Here we go. All right. Finish the clip. And it's definitely a fail. Definitely a fail. All right. So if you pick fail, you were correct. That was the practice round. Now it's for real. It's on like Donkey Kong. All right. Here we go. Second one right here. This is the beginning of the clip. This is, all right. What do you think? Epic or fail? A lot of epics out there. I see it. Okay. Let's see the rest of the clip. Dun, 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 dun. Yes. Yep. All right. Good. Okay, you guys got that? Most of you got that one. All right, let's try another one. Here we go. All right, here we go. One, two. All right, what do you think? Epic or fail? A lot of fails. You think I'm going to show you a clip that ends poorly like this? All right, here we go. Oh, jeez. Some of the moms were like, I don't care. That was a fail. Yeah, that was clearly a dad was in charge of that activity there. One more. Let's try another one here. This is a good one here. What do you think? Ugh. Epic fail? Yeah, I think we all know where this one's heading. All right, so, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, everybody's like fail except for the chiropractors. They're like, cha-ching, cha-ching. I like that. You guys got room for one more time? All right, let's do one more. This is my favorite one. All right, everybody loves a wedding. Weddings are always good. Epic fail, what do you think? You don't know what to do with this one. Yeah, about 50-50. All right, here we go. Let's see the rest of it. And boom, shakalaka. Some of you said fail. I don't know. I think that's pretty epic. I'll take that as an epic the way that it is. Now, that's awesome. I love this game. I love this game for so many different reasons. One of the reasons that I love this game so much is because when the video is epic, it sort of gives me a greater hope for humanity, which I don't know about you, but I need that right now. So some greater hope for our species. But then, though, when the video is a fail video, I like it too because it sort of makes me feel better about my own life. You know, when things aren't going well, I'm like, hey, yeah, it could be worse. At least I'm not that bridesmaid. That's who you don't want to be ever. Okay, so I love it for those reasons, but there's also another reason that I love this epic fail game so much. And the reason I love it is because it reminds me of how small the space is between an epic and a fail experience. I mean, you know this. In a split second, at one moment in time, one decision can make all the difference in determining the outcome of some situation that we find ourselves in. It helps us in determining whether what we went through was worth it. What will make us better, will make us stronger in life, or whether what we went through will result in some sort of failure for us, and maybe even in some situations, a lifetime of regret. And here's what I know about all of us. All of us experience this dynamic. We all fall short. We all fall down. Very, very few of us will have epic encounters throughout our lives, but all of us at some point will have some sort of fail. And when we do, the good news of today, in fact, the good news of this entire bystander series moving toward Easter, the good news of today is this, that failure never has to be the end. Failure never has to be the final chapter of our story. In fact, today we're going to see how God responds to one of the most famous fails of all time. In fact, that fail happened to happen during one of the most epic events in all of history. And I want to show that to you today. So if you have your Bible with you today or your Bible app, I want to invite you to go with me to John chapter 21, the Gospel of John, which is essentially a biography of Jesus. It tells the story of Jesus's life through the lens of a guy named John Zebedeeson. He was somebody that walked with Jesus through the 3 years he was on the earth, and then he wrote down what he saw. And this last chapter, verse 21, sort of adds a capstone to the whole encounter. And we're going to pick it up in verse 1. So John chapter 21, verse 1 says this. Later, as far as we're going to go, okay? Later, we're going to stop here. Why? Well, because something just happened, because this is later. What just happened? Well, in John chapter 19, Jesus has been arrested and he's been beaten. He's been crucified. And then in the next chapter, in John chapter 20, 3 days later, what does Jesus do? He rises from the dead and he appears to some of the disciples. And that's the context for what John is writing in this last chapter in John 21. That's where we pick it up. John chapter 21, verse 1 says, later, after all of these things happened to Jesus, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. And this is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there, Simon, Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Verse 3, Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. Now this, by the way, is what happens in my normal fishing experience because I'm a fishing putz. These guys, though, were fishing pros. This is not what should be happening to them right now. The fish should be biting at this moment. They're doing everything right, but the fish are not biting. And they're fishing all night long because of verse 4, at dawn, about 6 a.m. now, Jesus shows up. He was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. Verse 5, he called out, fellows, have you caught any fish? Now that inquiry has a little bit of a bite behind it. This post-resurrected Jesus is a little bit snarky here. But then something happens. Something absolutely amazing happens. Almost completely unbelievable. Something unbelievable happens here. A group of fishermen admit that they haven't caught anything. Their response, no, they replied. And so Jesus, in verse 6, Jesus said, well, throw out your net on the right side of the boat and you'll catch some. You'll get some. So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. In verse 7, then the disciple Jesus loved, any guesses who this might be, the disciple Jesus loved? John, the writer of this gospel throughout the whole book, throughout his whole writing refers to him like that, the disciple that Jesus loved. John, the author of the book, says to Peter, it's the Lord. He's the one who's talking to us. And when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work. He jumped into the water and headed to shore. Now, why in the world would Peter do this? Why wouldn't they just take the boat to shore? Why does Peter have to jump in and swim to shore? Well, lots of different reasons. But one of them is, as you read the Bible, what you find about Peter is that he is the impulsive one of the disciples. And every group has this person. If you don't know who it is in your group, it's you. Just to be clear, this is the person who acts before they think. This is the fire, aim, ready kind of individual. And that's who Peter is. And so he jumps into the water, swimming to the shore, while, verse 8, the others stayed with the boat. A little bit of bitterness in the tone here. The others of us stayed in the boat, and we had to pull the loaded net to shore, for we're only about 100 yards from shore. Peter, you could have just stayed in the boat. In verse 9, though, look at this. This is where it changes. Verse 9, when they got there, when all of them were on the shore together, they found breakfast waiting for them. Fish cooking over a what? Say it out loud. A charcoal fire. They got there. They saw fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. Muy interesante right here, right? A charcoal fire. Let me just say this. Whenever you're reading the Bible and you see some of these details in the Bible, you're like, why are they including these details? They're in there for a reason. Any significance here? Oh, yeah, there's definitely significance in this detail. If you would, if you've got your Bible, just flip back a few chapters to John chapter 18. I want to show you what the significance is, because just a few days ago, as Jesus was getting dragged away to be tried and executed, he predicted to his disciples that things were about to get cray-cray. They were about to get insane and really intense, and that some of them were about to deny him. And so when Jesus makes that accusation, Peter opened his big mouth and boldly proclaimed, Jesus, I will never deny you. I won't be the one that denies you. These other guys might, they're a bunch of losers, but definitely not me. But what happened? Does he deny Jesus? We'll skip down to verse 17. John chapter 18, verse 17 starts like this. The woman asked Peter, you're not one of that man's disciples, are you? No, he said, I am not. I am not. Is that an epic or a fail moment here? It's a fail. Fail number one for Peter. Look at verse 18. But because it was cold, the household servants and the guards had made a what? A charcoal fire. And they stood around it, warming themselves. And Peter stood with them, warming himself. Now skip down to verse 25. Meanwhile, as Simon Peter was standing by the fire, charcoal fire, warming himself, they asked him again, you're not one of his disciples, are you? And he denied it, saying, no, I am not. Ouch, not good. Let's call that fail number two. And then verse 26, but one of the household slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, another story for another day, he asked him, hey, didn't I see you out there in the olive grove with Jesus? Verse 27, and again, Peter denied it. And immediately the rooster crowed. And there you have it, friends, fail number three. Peter denied his Savior. Peter betrayed his friend three times. And each denial happened around a what? A charcoal fire. So now back to John 21. Peter finds himself back at the charcoal fire. He finds himself back again at the place of his greatest failure. And I know that he knows this, that he remembers this moment with crystal clarity, and no doubt he feels the guilt and the shame of what he has done. You see, this is a very vulnerable moment for Peter. I mean, I can completely picture Peter walking up to Jesus with his head down, too ashamed to even look into his eyes. That's how Peter handles this moment. But look at how Jesus handles the situation. Let's see what he says. Look at verse 10. Bring some of the fish that you've just caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net had not torn. Interesting detail there. Verse 12, now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. And I love verse 13. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. He served them the bread and the fish. In verse 14, this was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. I love the picture that John is painting here of this post-resurrection moment with Jesus, because it is this beautiful picture of grace and of kindness and of forgiveness and acceptance. You see, it's important to notice that Jesus doesn't condemn Peter or the rest of them for being complete cowards at his crucifixion. Instead, he puts on a chef's hat and he cooks these tired, hungry, heartbroken guys some breakfast. You see, when they failed him, he gives them grilled fish and not a guilt trip. When they fail him, he gives them warm bread, not a verbal beatdown. When they failed him, he gives them love and not a lecture. That's how Jesus handles this kind of fail situation. But the story continues, because once the breakfast is over, now it's time for Peter and Jesus to have a little heart-to-heart about what happened at the charcoal fire. Look at verse 15. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? That's what Jesus asked Peter. Now, if I was Jesus, verse 15 would read more like this. Simon, son of John, I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed with you. Do you know all that I did for you these last 3 years, let alone these last 3 days? And you didn't just fumble your opportunity just one time. You failed me three times. Three times! So disappointing. Are you at least sorry for what you did? Can you promise me that this won't happen again? That's what I would do if I were Jesus. Aren't you glad I'm not Jesus? Me too. Instead, Jesus asks Peter a very pointed question. He says, do you love me? Do you love me? And I can't think of a more tender question to ask him at that moment. Because Jesus here is still hopeful that even though Peter's confidence has waned, his love for him has not. Do you love me? Do you love me? You see, that question must have wounded Peter at a heart level. In fact, we begin to see it back in verse 15. Peter replied, yes, Lord, you know it. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. In other words, Peter, I want you to get back up and get back into the game, because I've got a plan and a purpose for your life that's bigger than this boat and these sea bass. What an amazing affirmation to Peter. But then it begins to get a little awkward, because verse 16, Jesus repeated the question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. And then in verse 17, it gets even more awkward, because a third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt that Jesus asked him the question a third time. And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. What a weird, strange exchange that John's recording here. What's going on here? Well, it's actually quite epic. Because instead of taking a punitive path with Peter, Jesus decides to take him down the road of redemption. You see, three times Peter had denied Jesus. And now three times Jesus asks Peter the question, "Do you love me still?" There's one inquiry for every denial. And Jesus does that not to rub it in, but to give Peter a chance to come clean. One confession to counteract each one of his betrayals. This is so incredibly beautiful. This moment, Jesus says to Peter, "If you love me still, then feed my lambs." Peter, translated, I still believe in you, Peter. Feed my lambs. Jesus says to Peter, "Take care of my sheep." Peter, I don't want you to quit what I've called you to do. Instead, I want you to double down on it. Because we've got so much more work ahead of us. Jesus says to Peter, "Follow me." Translated, Peter, your failure doesn't undo what it is I want you to do. You see, Midcurrent, what we learn from this bystander encounter is simply this, that failure is never final. That failure never has to be the final chapter of our story. It doesn't have to be the final chapter of our story. In fact, it wasn't the final chapter of Peter's story either. 7 weeks later, Peter made Jesus so proud. He preached the bravest and boldest sermon that's ever been preached in Jerusalem, and about 3,000 people turned from their sin and started following Jesus. And then as you continue to read the story in the book of Acts, which is the chronicles of the early church, Peter's right smack dab in the middle of the action. He's in the mix of it all as Christianity spreads from this small movement of 70 people to over tens of thousands to now billions in our world today. You see, what starts as a fail can turn into an epic when you realize that to Jesus, failure is never final. Failure is never final. And some of you, I would submit, are here today because you need to hear that today. That you're in this space, that you're in this place right now, or maybe you're watching online right now. And if you were really honest about what's going on, you would say that you've been broken by your failure. That you've been broken by the fail moment of your life. That maybe for you, it was a DUI that marks your life even to this day. Maybe it was a failed marriage or the fact that you've been unfaithful in your marriage. Or maybe that you failed as a parent or you failed in your career or in the classroom, that at some point, maybe you filed for bankruptcy or you've allowed an addiction to destroy you or some defeat to define you. Or maybe you've just come up short on numerous promises that you've made with God. And it would be a fail by all standards. If that's the case, then here's the question for all of us wayward disciples today. It's from the very mouth of a hopeful hero named Jesus, and it's simply this. He wants to know, do you love me? Do you love me? Not, have you messed up? He already knows you did. But right now, in this moment, in spite of that, he wants to know, do you love me? Do you love me more than whatever you've run to in your guilt and in your shame? You see, that is the most and first significant question that you need to ask and answer immediately after a fail. Because the first step to take after a fail is a step forward, is a step toward Jesus. And when you do, when you take that kind of step, what you won't find is a lecture or a verbal beatdown or some guilt trip, but rather what you find in that moment is forgiveness and acceptance and grace. What you find in that moment is that you actually get another chance. Because God is a God who is all about second chances. God's that way, and you may be new and you may not know this about this church, but Midcurrent is also all about second chances. I want you to know that this is a church that is a church for people that are just like Peter, who have shown their fail card at some point in their life. This church is for people like Peter and for people like me and for people like you, you and me, and we all belong here. Because this church is a place where real people and a real God meet. And when we fail, God doesn't meet us and shun us, but rather he wants to be with us in the same way that he met Peter that morning on the shore with some fresh bread, with some fish cooked on a charcoal fire, and a side of grace that covers all those mistakes. Because what starts out as a fail can quickly turn into an epic when we realize that to Jesus, failure is never final. When we realize that to Jesus, failure is never final, that our failure is never final. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this moment, God, and we thank you that you are a God who loves us. Not for what we do or what we've done, but many times in spite of what we've done and who we are, you still love us. And you ask us that simple question, do you love me? And God, that is such a difficult question to ask, and even more difficult to answer. And so church, I just want us to take a minute to do that in this moment. Jesus is asking you today, do you love me? What's your answer to him? Do you love me? God, we thank you that that's what you care most about. That God, you designed us for a relationship with you, and that you desire that from us more than anything, that we love you more than these, whatever these may be for each of us. And God, help us to do that more. Help us to answer that question with clarity, even in the midst of some of our greatest moments of failure. Because God, you are the one who turns stories around. You're the one who makes fails into epics when we look at you and lean on you with our lives. God, we thank you for that. We thank you for Jesus, who made all of that possible, who turned the greatest fail on the cross into an epic success for our salvation. And God, we look forward and toward that in the next few weeks. And we thank you for Jesus. And it's in his wonderful name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. Follow us online during the week and visit us on Sunday mornings at 9 and 10:30 a.m. at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson.